The Drive with Wolfgang and Trent Condon. Real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 The Champ.
Bump it into good tunes as we return. 5 o'clock hour. Trent and Wolfgang here with you on The Drive. 1700 The Champ. All right, Wolfgang, we got the top five at five. We will get into that here momentarily. I got more than five topics I want to hit with you today. I have.
Are you breaking the rules again?
I have eight on my list.
One,
eight.
Two, three, and to the four.
That's right. Sing it. Sing it.
Better not.
Okay, all right, all right.
Better not.
Stay it away. So you're wearing your Boomer Sooner hat today.
Yeah, it's about the only hat that I like fits my balding dome.
Aha, I see. Well, bonus question to start things off. I want to start with this.
I can tell you're going to get frisky here.
Oh, I'm getting frisky.
Yeah, I see your eyes right now. You're getting about ready to get frisky. And I might walk
not
out.
Not that kind of frisky. What? Slow down over there. Slow down.
What are you thinking about, man?
Why are you saying frisky? I mean, I got different things on my mind.
You're getting pokey. You're going to start poking me.
I'm pokey?
Yeah, you're going to get
this
pokey.
This is getting worse.
Okay, you're
I'm not getting frisky with you. I'm not poking you. I'm doing neither. What I'm going to ask you.
So
I'm going to ask about your beloved Oklahoma Sooners.
My beloved. Okay.
Bonus question, our top five of five today, brought to you by New Leaf Wellness. If you're looking to lose weight, you're looking, maybe you just hit a plateau in your workout, looking for something to help you out. New Leaf Wellness can help you with that and a whole lot more. They're located over on West Down Parkway in West Des Moines. New Leaf Wellness, a presenting sponsor here of The Drive, 1700 The Champ. Bonus question, number one.
Number one.
Who are you taking right now for the college football playoff? Oklahoma or Ohio State?
Who am I taking or who do I think they're going to take?
Who are you taking? Who's the better football team?
I got to do more homework than that.
No, that's not what the top five and five is about.
I like to be honest, Trent Condon.
Who's,
right now, I'm right this second.
Who's the better football?
That's the question. Who's the better football team?
These two teams play Saturday. In Indianapolis. No, in St. Louis. That's a neutral field. St. Louis, middle for both of them, right?
Okay.
Right in the middle. 50-50 split in tickets. Who wins? Ohio State or Oklahoma?
Yeah, boy. So Ohio State, who we've been killing, Trent Condon,
yes.
And who was the only show, Trent, 3, 4, 5, 6 days ago, that brought up, what if Jim Harbaugh loses, ... I looked over at you, and I had a reaction on your face, like, and whoever we were speaking to went, like, we couldn't even fathom that.
Right. They were a lot better football team, it felt like, going into the game.
It's so weird.
62-39.
So weird. So weird. So now
you're filibustering.
Who am I taking if they play each other right this second?
Quick.
Oklahoma.
Of course. Boomer Sooner play it. Here we go for real.
Number one.
We start with a report from CBSSports.com, and that is where Jason Lockenfora put out a story about Matt Campbell and the continued speculation about him moving on from Iowa State. This time, the Cleveland Browns doing their homework, an Ohio guy. We brought this up before. I think I could tell by the look on your face, your response to when you saw this story tweeted out yesterday.
And I don't mean any disrespect to Matt Campbell at all, because I love him as a coach, and I want to watch him here for years and years and years and be able to talk about Iowa State football and its relevance and winning Big 12 championships. How fun would that be, Trent? Mm. It'd be a lot of fun. But let's be real here. I tweeted something out and somebody was asking me, and they know I'm fairly fair. Is that a word? Fairly fair on Iowa State, okay? I think it's a little bit of a reach, and I said that how many weeks ago? 6. I knew this was coming. There was one guy that wrote a story about Matt Campbell going to the Browns. Why in the HE double hockey sticks would you hire Matt Campbell? Explain that to me, Trent Connan.
Because he has done the seemingly impossible. He's made Iowa State relevant on the top of the conference in the Big 12. 6 conference wins for the first time ever. Ever. This isn't doing it at Texas Tech. This isn't doing it at Oklahoma State. This is doing it at Iowa State. Never before has anybody been able to do that. Plus, he's an Ohio guy. He has connections there. People believe that the way that he has built the program will translate to the next level.
Oh, gosh.
It's also the Browns. I mean, just last week they were talking about Condoleezza Rice. We got to remember that. It is the Cleveland Browns.
Number two.
All right, Friday, Black Friday, Iowa with the win over Nebraska as that wraps up. Tiger Phil takes the television screen. Now, if you paid for it.
We did.
You got screwed because I didn't pay for it, yet I still got to watch because the firewall was broken, all kinds of problems. and they just let everybody in for free. Here it is. Tiger, Phil, did you like it?
Yes and no. And I know that's a terrible question, so you want me to pick one?
What, terrible question? No. Come on, that's my question.
Oh, I meant terrible answer.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
actually, I didn't mean terrible
How
answer.
How dare you?
It's a terrible question and a terrible answer. How about that? No, we enjoyed it. It was weird. There's something about watching a pay-per-view, as I think I told you maybe in commercial break. There's something about it that makes you feel, oh, cool, man, I'm seeing something somebody else isn't seeing. That's what you love about sports, that you may be seeing. It doesn't have to be pay-per-view. I'm watching a game where I'm watching Aaron Rodgers right now, and I'm watching, you know, whoever, Barry Sanders, or, wow, I maybe just saw a run that I've never seen before. I may have seen a Hail Mary that I've never seen before. It was kind of cool watching, but I also hate it at the same time because I don't want more pay-per-view items that I have to pay-per-view to watch. Enough already. You seen your cable bill? You seen your DirecTV, your Dish bill? It's enough already, Trent Condon.
Number three.
All right, let's jump over to college basketball tonight. Iowa State in action. We'll talk about that coming up with Alex Halstead as they take on Nebraska Omaha. The Mavericks will be in town. Wolfgang, we're not talking about that so much. There is a new ranking system that was released today. Replacing the RPI, we now have the net. Your number one team in terms of the net, Ohio State. The Buckeyes, the number one team in the land.
Way to go, Urban Meyer. That's awesome, man.
The 10th ranked team in the country, Loyola Marymount, who hasn't been relevant since Bo Kimball and Hank Gathers were running around out there, and they made it a run to an Elite Eight. Iowa comes in at number 15, Iowa State at 32. Your takeaway, what do you think of the net?
Okay, just found it. Here we go. Yeah, Ohio State, Virginia. I mean, that's Ohio State, though. That's weird. And you got Texas Tech, who's building a program. Michigan 4, Gonzaga 5. That's fair. Duke, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Virginia Tech. Like you say, Loyola Marymount. This is the kind of stuff, though, that you have to figure out how to weigh. And because we look at this, and I understand over the long haul, it works itself out. And that's fine to say. But why the bleep Pittsburgh is? Did you see where Pittsburgh was, Trent?
I didn't.
Let me look real quick. I want to believe it's like 16, something like that. Pittsburgh. The team that has not won, what they win, 4 conference games the last 2 years. With
zero last year.
Zero, and then maybe 4 the previous year or something like that. I wish I could get to that, but I think they're in the top 20. Pittsburgh, a team that everybody agrees sucks, is somehow in the top 15 to 20 in this whole new RPI type thing. I don't know, Trent. I mean, we'll see. That will work itself out because they will lose a whole bunch, Trent. But what do you think of that? Why are they there? They played nobody. They beat nobody. Explain that to me. I can't.
It is early. You see these same things happen year after year after year. Now, the reason that I'm a big fan of Ken Pom and Ken Pomeroy's numbers is he also, this is not just a complete breakdown and starting from the beginning. That's what you happen here. The problem is when this was released. This should have been released late December, early January. That's when they should have released this thing instead of doing it this early on because you get this ridiculousness. It's going to take a while. You look at the RPI right now, it's the same thing. And the RPI is still out there. You can still look at it, and there is broken numbers that are out there. Mm-hmm. It's too early for a metric like this to be released because you get the overreaction. Loyola Marymount's not the 10th best team in the country. Ohio State's not the best team in the country. They have nice road wins. They went to Cincinnati. They went to Creighton and won. That's the reason that they're up there. It'll play itself out. It'll be okay by the time we get done.
But we both agree Belmont is the 12th best team in the country.
I like the Bruins.
Number 4.
7 overtimes, Wolfgang. That's what it took on Saturday night for LSU and Texas A&M to conclude. Crazy circumstances at the end of the game. A spike that shouldn't have counted. Illegal formation, that wasn't called. The first down that actually was, ESPN just screwed up the line on ESEC Network and made everybody freak out about that one. 7 overtimes feels like a little bit too much. What would you do to fix the college overtime system?
Man, I don't know. I do not know. I don't want ties, but I also don't want, if we're going to be real, like we talked about Drake, Iowa State, we've talked about short weeks in the NFL, Trent, then let's be real. Let's be real. Let's be real with concussions. I don't know what I would do. I honestly don't. So I will think about that a little more, and I'm going to watch it on YouTube. I found a nice little YouTube channel, Trent, mm-hmm. that you can watch these games real quick. They take out all the crap, mm-hmm. and you can watch that because I didn't get to watch that live. So I'm looking forward to watching that, and I'll probably have more of an opinion tomorrow. Did you think it was just absurd and ridiculous?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
So you did?
I was locked in for the whole thing. I don't want to see changes. I love the overtime system.
Okay.
I know people are player safety and those kind of things, and hey, if you had the under, you got screwed. Hey, I understand all those kind of things in the betting angle. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's so much better than the NFL. Maybe go for two. You start in the third overtime. I like that wrinkle to it, too. Both teams get a real possession starting first. You go to the second. Same way, just inverse it. I like the setup for it. Maybe starting, though, say in the fourth or fifth overtime, you move them back. You don't start at the 25. You start at the 40. Something like that. Something that could be done.
I'm trying to figure it out because that would be how many extra plays. So four times seven overtimes. Each team is playing that many more plays.
Right.
So what do you do? I don't want to be a wuss. Like I said, I don't want to be the guy that says put on flags. But I also don't want to be the guy that says is not worried about their safety.
Number five.
We finish up the top five at five, brought to you by our friends at New Leaf Wellness with this Wolfgang. Time for a mea culpa. We both said, you know, if there's a team built to beat Alabama, it's Michigan.
That doesn't mean we're wrong. Just because they lost does not mean we're wrong.
They gave up 62 points. That team stinks. What did we miss with the Michigan Wolverines?
Have you ever heard about matchups, sir? Matchups. That's what I was asking you earlier. It's all about matchups. They would have matched up well. Now, some people are saying Oklahoma. Some people that I can't stand in national radio, okay, are saying Oklahoma gives Alabama the best game. I don't know what I think about that. Let me think about that. I don't know that I
agree. Tua's going to throw for 700 yards.
Well, what if Kyle Murray, what if Murray goes for
Kyler Murray might throw for 600 and we got a ball game.
I kind of like to watch it, I'll be honest with you.
I'm the exact same way. I asked you at the top here who you'd take, Oklahoma and Ohio State. I think Ohio State maybe is slightly better, but I'd rather see a matchup because regardless, it's going to be a blowout. But
wait, stop the blowout stuff. You did this with Ohio State, Michigan. All you radio guys.
You did the same thing.
I'm just in here. You bring me in here every once in a while.
You did the same thing. I'm looking at your picks from last week.
Blowout?
Oh, you
never said blowout, sir. It's a 4-point game.
You were laying the points with Michigan.
That doesn't mean blowout.
You were laying the
sir?
Points. Let's get the break. We're coming back. We're talking Cyclones next. Alex Halstead's going to join us from CycloneAlert.com. A look to the big comeback win over K-State as we continue on the drive.
Live play-by-play coverage of every NFL primetime game right here. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
It's green, moron.
Come on, move it, you clowns.
1700 The Champ. Right now, traffic.
Right now, we have a stall that has left the center lane blocked on I-235 going westbound at 31st Street, and it looks like that's backed up traffic to 2nd Avenue. If you're over that way, delays could be up to 10 minutes. And then we have a stalled semi on I-80-35 going westbound at Hickman Road, and that's blocking the center lane on the off-ramp to Hickman. And that's your look at traffic. Drive safe out there, Des Moines, and have a great evening.
This report is sponsored by Maxima Smart Security Lights at Costco.
Imagine getting HD video of all activity at your door on your smartphone. That's what Maxima Smart Lights with cameras do, plus more. Talk live with visitors wherever you are. So easy to install. Get Maxima Smart Porch Lights and Floodlights at Costco and Home Depot.
Build your business. At Signorama of Urbandale, we offer customized solutions for signs, branding, marketing, and advertising. We have a full range of custom sign and graphic services to meet your needs, build your brand, and create your image. Look around and you'll see how Andy Woodley and his staff help businesses enhance visibility and get noticed. Let us work with you to understand your unique marketing goals and help you reach them. Signorama of Urbandale, the way to grow your business. 3368 100th Street in Urbandale and online at signorama.com/IA-Urbandale.
Hi, this is Baron Geiger, president of Caring Hands Food Pantry in Altoona, and we have some exciting news. This month, in partnership with DMARC, we launched Caring Hands Eastview at Eastview Community Center, located at 4101 East 42nd Street in Northeast Des Moines. Northeast Des Moines has been identified as a part of our community where food insecurity among families and children is significant. Can you help us make a difference and fight hunger in our city by donating or volunteering? To get involved, just contact David Harper at Eastview Community Center at 515-809-2356. That's 515-809-2356. 805-809-2356. And as always, thank you for your support.
A garage door is the largest moving part in your entire house, so it's important to keep it working smoothly, especially as winter approaches. At Advanced Door Systems, we service all garage door brands, even if you do not purchase the door from us. Visit our website, ads-doors.com. That's ads-doors.com to learn more about us and the garage door and opener services we offer. Advanced Door Systems, the right door, the right way.
Now that the 2018 baseball season is behind us, there are still plenty of reasons to visit Principal Park. From t-shirts to caps and unique gifts, our team store has more fun stuff than Santa can fit in a sleigh. With a great menu and wonderful setting, the Cub Club restaurant is a great holiday destination for breakfast and lunch and groups of all sizes. And it's not too soon to think about 2019 season tickets for you or your business. Our schedule can be found online at iowacubs.com.
What's in store this holiday at your local Staples?
Giving and receiving.
And receiving some more.
This year, give the job of printing your holiday cards to Staples, and you'll receive big savings.
And this week only, get 40% off custom holiday cards and invitations at Staples. Plus, when you spend $50 on custom printing, you'll receive a $15 print coupon.
So, happy holiday to you.
Staples. There's a whole lot in store this holiday.
Valid 11/22 to 12/118. Exclusions apply. In-store only. See associate for details.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus, and online at therookiesportscards.com.
Wildwood Hills Ranch is a local nonprofit just 25 minutes south of West Des Moines, serving over 1,000 youth at risk and veterans and their families annually. We would like to invite you to our upcoming events this fall. We have a barn dance in the Quad Cities November 3rd and an Iowa Machine Shed Thanksgiving on Thursday, November 22nd. We hope to see you at one of our upcoming events. For more information, go to wildwoodhillsranch.org.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Back with you on The Drive, 1700, the champ, Trent and Wolfgang taking you home here with you until 6 o'clock tonight. We got Monday Night Football coming up with the Titans and the Texans. You can hear it here on 1700, the champ. Right now, time to talk Cyclones after the big win, ending the 10-game losing streak to Kansas State over the weekend, and a look to basketball, too. Alex Alstead joining us from CycloneAlert.com. Alex, good afternoon to you. How was Turkey Day?
It was pretty good. It was a busy week that, like you said, ended with that crazy game, but I did get a chance to get away for a little bit for a couple days, and now back at it with the regular season finale this weekend.
And it'll be Drake getting to town. Before we get into that, into the basketball, too, let's start with what we saw against Kansas State. Down 38-21 early in the fourth quarter. Boy, it was feeling like yet another one. Old Bill Snyder was going to get them again, yet the Cyclones came back. A great play defensively, Mike Rose on that recovery, bringing it back for a touchdown to get them within three. That fourth quarter, to me, it just shows the culture of Iowa State, the culture, what Matt Campbell has done in the past. It would have been easy for Iowa State to fold up the tent. Certainly didn't happen Saturday night.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think, too, is that game kind of represents something a little bit different that we've seen under Campbell's team, at least the last couple seasons now, is an ability to fight through some of that stuff. Because I don't think teams of years past, some of the Iowa State teams I covered in my early years and some of the teams in the middle 2000s, would have won that game. I don't think they would have had much of a chance to win that game. And I maybe even jumped the gun covering the game. I tweeted after it went 38-21, you know, this thing's probably all but done, barring a miraculous comeback. And I had a lot of replies after the game, but
sure.
You know, you're still kind of in that mindset of, first of all, you're playing a Kansas State team that doesn't allow a lot of points in terms of fast points. It takes time to get points on the board against them. I mean, Iowa State had 21 points through three quarters, and their offense was playing well, but it's just a slow-paced, low-possession game. I didn't think there was much time, you know, 12 minutes to get three touchdowns or 17 points. That was one thing, and then the second thing, they just had not played well. And so I didn't necessarily write them off. I did leave it open, saying the miraculous comeback bid, and that maybe saves me by the end of the night.
We're with Alex Halstead. Alex is Wolfgang. I'm looking at one of your tweets, and it's not exactly like you were going out on a limb saying that Iowa State might be out of this game. There was a 98% probability that Iowa State was going to lose this game.
Yeah, that's right. When they scored to make it 38-21, the win probability on the kickoff, so you know the next play that it was logged was the kickoff, and when Iowa State received that kick, they had a 2% chance to win that game. And it's reminiscent of some of the Iowa State-Kansas State games in recent years where Iowa State, I want to say, had a 98-point-something% chance to beat Kansas State a couple years ago with a minute 31, and then that fumble fiasco happened. So it was almost eerily similar to some of the ways Iowa State has lost to Kansas State. And, you know, maybe I should have just left the door open knowing how this series has gone.
It's absolutely crazy, the comeback and the good feelings that came out of it. Now it's a look to Drake. That's on tap next. And I was talking to your cohort over at the Ames Tribune, your buddy Dylan Montz, earlier today, and I asked him, you know, what do you think the environment's going to be? Same thing for you. What's it going to be? Weather dependent, certainly, but it's not senior day. They had that on Saturday night. It is one last chance to see these seniors and the outgoing players. But with Drake coming to town, what do you think it's going to be like in Jack Trice, 11 a.m. Saturday morning?
Yeah, I do think it's going to be really weather-dependent, like you said. I just in terms of at least a percentage of the fan base, I think if it's nice enough, they might come and tailgate one more time. I think there is the faction of the fan base, of any fan base, that will be a draw. That, you know, they'll go tailgate. They'll go for a little while at least. But it's going to be dependent on the weather. And right now it's looking like 40-ish degrees, and I don't know what the wind's going to be like and that sort of thing. But I do think some of it will be that. But I think it's going to be a tough draw in some ways. You know, I went over to Drake's interviews today just because it's, you know, a short drive across Des Moines. And, you know, one of their players, you know, mentioned they voted unanimously to play this game, and because their season was obviously over. And, you know, they talked about the excitement of getting to play in a Big 12 stadium and, you know, getting to play. And I think one of them mentioned 50 or 60,000 fans. And it's just, I just kind of like, I don't know if that's what it's going to be like, you know. And that's what will be interesting. You know, it would be cool for those players, and I think especially the young players, to be able to play in front of that environment. But it just, I don't think anybody knows what to expect, because it is a different situation. It is the first December game ever in Jack Trice history. I mean, it's not something that happens, and the weather's uncertain. And so I'm interested, just like you guys probably, to see what kind of crowd does show up.
Yeah, and Alex, and no offense to Drake at all, I'm not trying to put them down at all, but I don't even want to see Iowa State run the ball. I know Iowa State's going to punish them. They're going to be black and blue by the end of the game. I'd really like to just see 500 ball to Hakeem Butler. Are you down with that?
Yeah, I mean, he only needs 14 yards to break Iowa State's single-season record, and I think people joke that you know, he might get that on – he should probably get that on the first play, but I think his first catch, but – Montgomery needs 53 yards to get to 1,000. I think someone said he might get that on the first play. And that's one thing that's been interesting is, you know, when this came out last week, I'd heard rumors early in the day, and my first thought was like, why are they doing this, you know? And I kind of, you know, admittedly maybe didn't give Drake enough credit. I'm not saying they're this awesome FCS program, but I probably didn't give them enough credit for, you know, I went through the Sagarin ratings and stuff, and they're better than some of the scholarship FCS teams that some of these teams have played, you know, not better than a lot of them, but like Auburn played Alabama State, who's number 245 in Sagarin, and Bethune-Cookman, Nebraska's makeup is 216. Well, Drake is 219. So they're kind of in that same area. Now, when you look at the scores of those games, they're like 45-6, you know, 63-10, you know, 50-10. So it might be that sort of scoring game, but I do think Drake's at least capable and good enough to go out there and not make this look like it's, you know, I think some people are like, this is like this is Division III or something. And Drake does have players. I actually asked Drake coach Rick Fox that today, you know, how many of these players do turn down different stuff? He said in 2012 they did a poll of their team, and two-thirds of their roster either turned down the opportunity to walk on at a Power 5 or turned down scholarship money because they wanted to major in something like pharmacy or law. So they do have players that have maybe turned down partial scholarships to you and I and South Dakota types.
A lot of money in that family there, Trent.
Yes, that's the way to go, no doubt. Hey, you brought up Agim Butler, and is this going to be the final game we see him out there at Jack Trice Stadium? Still eligibility. Do you think he's going to be an early entrance to the NFL? And who else on that Cyclone roster might be putting their name out there and getting the feedback back from the NFL folks?
Yeah, I do think Agim Butler's trending more towards it. I haven't heard anything official, like, you know, that this is for sure it for him this season. But there was a point earlier that I would have probably told you he's coming back, and I think it's trended a little bit more towards maybe he'll go. And I think Iowa State wants him to get good feedback. You know, they obviously last year Lazard was gone either way. He was graduated. But I think his situation makes probably Agim Butler a little bit more tenuous about it. You know, make sure that you get good feedback before you decide to go, because you know, Lazard actually, by all accounts, you know, tested better than I think some people expected him, and he still didn't get drafted. And I think that maybe put something in the back of Agim Butler's head a little bit. But he seems to be trending towards this could very possibly be his last game at Jack Price Stadium. And I do think he would play in a bowl regardless if he goes. And then the other name is obviously David Montgomery. And I actually think there is a chance that Montgomery still comes back. I think most people think that he's for sure gone, and I would probably lean towards him being gone. But I don't think he's made that decision fully either, and so it's possible this will be his last game of names as well. But those are really the two names. You know, what some people have asked me about Ray Lima, but this is a pretty deep year for defensive linemen, and I also think that, you know, he seems to be trending towards coming back.
How about Montgomery? I'm interested in your opinion on this. I don't know if you'll go there with me, but I kind of think he's actually underrated, if that's even possible. Do you watch much NFL? Do you have a comparison to him in the NFL, or can you give me like a baseline of what you see him at if he leaves early?
Yeah, I do watch a decent amount of the NFL. People try to compare him to Kareem Hunt. I don't think he's that. I think he's got some of the elusiveness that Hunt does. I don't know if he's as quick as some of those guys, but I do think he does get a little bit, like you said, I don't know if he's underrated or what the word is, but there's maybe overlooked in some different ways, because I think so many people focus on his missed tackles, which sometimes he's had to do because he doesn't have lanes. Mm-hmm. But I think in recent weeks we've seen a little bit more of some of the other things he can do when he does have the offensive line's blocked from a little bit better at times, where he's not just bouncing off guys all the time. Sometimes he's just getting up through the hole. And we saw that a little bit Saturday where, you know, his 18-yard touchdown run, I just think it was a good vision and his ability to make a cut and get upfield, and he did that a couple times. So the funny thing was I was in the press box for this game, but there was a game earlier this year where ESPN did a cut up, and they compared him to he's got the vision of so-and-so, and it's just like the four best running backs in the NFL. It's like, I think they called him the Frankenstein running back or something. It's like, man, that is, he's good, but that's quite a...
Yeah, they were like Jesus, Muhammad, and every god ever, you know, that played football. It was a little ridiculous, and I love the kid. Jeez.
Yeah, and some people try to defend it. Like, they're not saying he's that, and I get that, but it's just like, man, he's good, but it's like that puts a lot of pressure on him.
Alex, yesterday I put out a poll on Twitter asking what Cyclone fans prefer, the Alamo Bowl or the Camping World Bowl in Orlando. 74% of the respondents said the Alamo Bowl. What are you hearing? What were Cyclone fans more willing to travel to and handicap it? Where do you think they're going to end up?
Yeah, I think the preference is definitely the Alamo. I think fans who understand the bowls, you know, there's really not January 1st bowls anymore except for the New Year's 6, and so it's changed a little bit. But the Alamo has the bowl of what used to be the January 1st bowls, more so than the other two. And not to say the other two aren't good bowls still, but the Alamo Bowl just has a kind of a different prestige to it. And, you know, it's the number one Big 12 school against the number one Pac-12 school after New Year's 6. And so it's the Big 12's top bowl. I think that's probably an easier one for Iowa State fans to travel to, especially when you consider their alumni base in Texas and even in Kansas City, which is, you know, closer and closer there. So I think the Alamo is probably number one. I was actually just working on a story. They're really down to three bowls right now. The Alamo Bowl they could go to, and the one way that happens is Texas and Oklahoma have to both get into New Year's 6, then the Alamo Bowl would pick between Iowa State and West Virginia. If Texas doesn't get a New Year's 6, they will go to the Alamo Bowl, and then the Camping World picks between Iowa State and West Virginia. And then the third option is the Texas Bowl, which is basically, you know, that scenario is basically Texas to the Alamo, and then the Camping World picks West Virginia over Iowa State. So there's really only three destinations that it's really down to. And if Iowa State fans want to go to the Alamo Bowl, they probably root for Texas on Saturday.
Alex, have you gauged like the amount of interest of maybe the amount of people that would actually travel? I think I went to the Alamo Bowl. For some reason, it stuck in my head, 1,050 miles. I might be wrong there. We hit a ball there. Can you gauge it? I mean, there's going to be a ton of Cyclone fans, right?
Yeah, I think they'll travel about anywhere, especially because, you know, last year Memphis was fine, but it wasn't this escape from Iowa. I mean, it was actually, you were in a coat and stuff down there. It was still cold and not quite the, you know, the bowl climate that I think a lot of people expect. But so I think that will help because, you know, you're looking at either Houston, San Antonio, or Orlando. I do think they maybe will travel a little bit better to Houston or San Antonio, so either the Alamo Bowl or Texas Bowl. I just think Orlando's a lot more expensive to get to, is what I've seen from, you know, a lot of comments when people are voting for these polls like Trent did. A lot of people have said, you know, the Camping World Bowl, it's so expensive because you got to get to Orlando, whereas I think it's a little bit easier, especially from Iowa, you know, to fly to San Antonio or Houston.
Alex, let's jump over to a little basketball tonight. Nebraska-Omaha on deck as the team comes back after their fifth-place performance in Maui, a 2-1, including a throttling there of San Diego State to finish things up. Looking at tonight, not a breakdown, certainly, of Nebraska-Omaha, but what are you going to be looking for as they come back off the islands?
Well, you know, this is the last game they'll be without Cameron Lard and Zoran Talley, assuming those suspensions are over next week for North Dakota State. So they've almost survived the first half of that stuff, and that's what we talked about last week, is they just need to kind of go to Maui and survive a little bit. And they've done that, and, you know, they're an 18.5-point favorite tonight. It's a tough game to, like, really get up for, I think, especially when you're coming back from Maui. But I'm interested to kind of see the continued evolution of, you know, Taylen Horton Tucker's role. I think he showed some flashes in Maui. And his role is going to be interesting to watch unfold as the next couple months go, because what happens when you get Cameron Lard back and then eventually Lindell Wigginton? How does his role change in terms of his scoring? Where do they want him to be in scoring and compared to, say, Wigginton, Lard, and Mariel Shayok? So I'm really interested in seeing kind of him. And then Jacobson's going to be interesting too here coming up, because I got to think that, you know, the way he's played, especially in Maui, I almost wonder if you keep him in the starting lineup when Lard comes back, and at least for a little while, and see how things go.
Yeah, so that's kind of Trent's question. Trent and I have brought that up a little bit, and Trent's in love with how he's playing right now, because he's playing great. Why would you not be in love with him? So, yeah, explain that a little more, what you see when those two guys get back, if you would.
Yeah, I got to think they'll stick with small ball, so I don't know if they start, you know, both of them, because I think you're going to keep starting Taylen Horton Tucker. And so I think you only start one of them, and, you know, obviously you're going to use both of them quite a few minutes, but to me, I almost wonder if Prome, especially the way he's handled the suspension, where I think everyone was kind of shocked with it, you know, a seven-game suspension that wasn't even university mandated, and so it came down from, you know, the head coach wanting to make a point. So it almost, to me, comes off as, you know, Prome's going to work him back in and, you know, make him kind of earn that starting role. And I think the way Jacobs has played, I think everyone would agree he's done way more than anyone could have expected when he came over from Nebraska. I almost think you go with him and don't disrupt the flow until either you have to, because it makes sense to put Lard in there, or, you know, just try to find a way to kind of make those two coexist, because they're both going to play a lot of minutes. It's just you got to figure out which group is best on the floor together.
You know, I've read a little bit about the suspension stuff. So is this basically some sort of grade thing or partying thing, or what's come out, or what can you say on that, Alex?
Well, Prome has always said it's kind of used the word immaturity, and we know Lard had some issues last winter, and supposedly none of it grade stuff. You know, he got pulled over with, I think, weed in the car, but it wasn't his car. That charge got dropped. He, you know, there's just different things.
Gotcha.
And so I think it all kind of added up in Prome. So this wasn't university mandated. Prome said, you know, I'm going to give a punishment, because, you know, he went to this wellness program, and I think everyone thought that was the punishment, or that's the thing. But then he comes back, and Prome said there's still got to be a punishment for why he went there, you know, why we had to do this stuff. And so he ended up handing down a month, which seemed excessive, because, you know, most university mandates are three games. And so that's why I'm interested to see how he handles it when he comes back, because he's already kind of made a big point about it.
Well, going to be interesting tonight, Nebraska-Omaha. After that, North Dakota State, we'll see exactly where they fall from there before the matchup a week from Thursday against Iowa. Alex Alstead, CycloneAlert.com. I know busy time for you. Appreciate you giving us some time here today.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
That's Alex Alstead joining us here tonight. You got a feeling? Throttle the Mavericks of
Omaha.
UNO?
Peyton, we got Peyton Manning it back. Omaha!
I got a play from this game.
Oh, God, help me. Trent.
Well, I was in Vegas when Iowa, a couple years back, played Nebraska-Omaha.
Yeah, can you at least refresh my memory a little bit? How many years back? Can you at least help me out here? Who was on the team?
3 years ago.
Oh, is that soon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Peter Jack's senior year. They made that run at the end of the season, got all the way up to the bubble, and then, of course, crapped the bed in the Big Ten tournament, as Iowa's want to do. But as I was in Vegas, and my buddy Chris Andrews, who runs the South Point Casino.
Heard him, yes.
And I went up and made my wager on Nebraska-Omaha on the money line. And he's back there, and he chuckles because I'm not betting thousands of dollars. I'm not moving the line. And I said, hey, on that crazy computer of yours, can you look up how many other people bet Nebraska-Omaha? This is early December. I mean, it's the championship weekend. You got the SEC, Big Ten, Big 12 championship going, you know, all that stuff. And I said, how many other people bet Nebraska-Omaha on the money line? He looks it up. You're the only one.
You have to be kidding me.
I was the only one at that time at the South Point that was on the Mavericks on the money line.
I wonder what that tattoo on your arm was.
And I'm the only one that cashed that check, that ticket that day.
Wow, that's impressive. That's a great story. Because gambling is kind of popular, especially with Hawkeye fans. And there's a lot of great Hawkeye fans, and there's a lot of Hawkeye fans that will bet against their team if it's a dollar, man. And you're one of those guys, and I'm really surprising you were the only guy. Maybe that game meant that little, Trent Connett.
It was one of the few good calls that I've had. We didn't have very good calls last weekend, by the way. You lost $400.
Yeah, watch the Steelers. That one absolutely killed me. I was feeling good the entire game. Fumble up. Here you go. Connor just gives it us, throws it, and I don't know what Roethlisberger was doing. Just decided to do some sort of jump. I don't know what some of those passes were, but I still think the Steelers are good. I still feel good about that bet, even though I lost. Do you ever feel that way?
Yeah. You feel like...
I was like, I feel like I made the right... I feel I'm okay with that one.
You're all right with that
one. Yeah, I'm okay with that one. Now, I never wanted to bet
on... You went 1-7.
But I never wanted to bet on Iowa State. I told you, we have to bet on that. I didn't feel good about either one of those.
Good thing you had your Sooners. They're the only ones that made you money.
Good about that one. Why did I feel about that? Because I put $300 on it.
You put $300 on that one. The only bet you won. I didn't do much better, though. I had a couple of wins, but my big ones didn't turn out to work, alas. We'll try it again this Friday and see if we can do better. We'll take a break. Coming back on the other side, Big Ten ACC Challenge starts tonight. We'll give some thoughts on that as we continue taking up until 6 o'clock. It's The Drive on 1700 The Champ. Back with you one final time. Trent and Wolfgang here on 1700 The Champ, talking the world of sports with you. All right, Wolfgang, tonight, Monday Night Football gets going. Titans and Houston. 7 consecutive victories out of the Texans. This is the ugliest 7-game winning streak I can remember, certainly in my lifetime in the NFL. Yet here they are. Mariota on the other side. He is healthy. They said good to go. Went through practice on Friday. No problems there. So he's out there. You give the Titans a shot down in Houston tonight?
For some weird reason, I find interesting, weird reasons to watch a game. Mariota is one of those guys. Watched him a ton in college. Kind of flashed a little bit early. Am I wrong there? Did he not make a Pro Bowl, or am I wrong? Is that stupid to say? I swear he might have. Anyway, he looked good maybe for 1 year or something like that. And then his completion percentage is just kind of stunk. He's not showing it. So national TV, live TV, I'm looking to see what they got going up against Houston, to see what they got. Other than that, I'm not sure. Do you have another storyline that you want to see out of it? I guess going for the 8-game winning streak is fun. You don't see that often. How many times have you seen 8-game winning streaks? I mean, not a ton.
No, not at all. You know, I think it is interesting. I've read a couple of stories. Bob McNair, the owner of the Texans, who brought football back to Houston after the Oilers left to become the Tennessee Titans. Just how important he is. He passed away on Friday, long battle with cancer from him. But a lot of conversation. Not only is he beloved with the people of Houston and bringing football back to Houston, but also he's a guy that the players really respected, a guy that the players seem to really like. And I do wonder if that adds a little bit of juice to the stadium tonight. It's one of those things that you can't handicap it. You can't put a number to it, but what it's going to mean. And because of that, I'm kind of leaning towards Houston's way. Ooh. Normally, if that wouldn't be here, I'd be grabbing Tennessee in the four. But I think I'm leaning back the other way. I think that's the direction I'm going to be going both that one. But it is, you know, it's kind of those little things that sometimes we forget as we get caught up in just the minutiae of the day-to-day games and what happens. But emotion does play a role, Wolfgang.
I actually totally 100% buy into that. And the fact that somebody, I mean, think about how many people you've worked for in your life, or your wife or your mom or your dad or whatever. Not a lot of them loved their owners of their businesses, or they cried when they passed away or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So the fact that a lot of these players were, I mean, that's kind of cool. And that is something that you have to look at when you're taking in the gambling effect. People rising together. I know we're all supposed to try and give 100% all the time, right, Trent?
Right.
Okay, we're all supposed to do that. And we're all supposed to pretend like bulletin, you know, board material doesn't count. If that was the case, then Chris Doyle wouldn't do any of that stuff, or Kirk Ferentz wouldn't do any of that stuff behind the scenes, or Dan McCarney back in the day, from guys I've talked to over and over again, wouldn't mention any of that stuff, or a person dying that you loved rallying around that guy, or who's the fella, help me out here, Trent at Purdue, Tyler Trent, you wouldn't bring him, well, you would, I mean, just being a good, but that does something. Mm-hmm. It does something. You see a guy that's so invested in you and your program, whether it's the owner or it's somebody that's going through something medically, it does help. I don't know what percent. I can't put it on that. Maybe there's some point in our life where we'll be able to say, yeah, it helps this much with this person or this much with this person. But I really truly believe that it inspires you, and that's why they do that stuff. Not just also to be good people, but also because I think it helps everybody around.
All right, you can hear that game if you're out and about tonight. We'll have the calls we always do with every Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday night football game here on 1700 The Champ. Westwood One with the coverage. Also tonight, Wolfgang, we get the Big Ten ACC Challenge going. Hasn't been a thing of beauty throughout the years for the Big Ten. Big Ten's off to a great start in college basketball this year. Is it changing? Are we going to see a change? Is the Big Ten going to win this thing?
So I'm going to inhale this stuff for tomorrow, the next couple days. I'm just going to inhale this. I can't wait. I'm going to get all my chores done tonight. Everything we got to do, Trent, I don't care if it's shopping, if I got to go try on whatever I got to try on, any clothes that I don't want to try on that I normally wouldn't wear, grocery shop, whatever. But I can't wait because we're going to see good games, Trent. We're going to be able to see good games, how teams match up in different conferences. This is where at the end of the year you go, oh, you don't think this amount of teams should be in the NCAA tournament for the Big Ten? Well, what about this? What about that? And I understand it seems like every year the Big Ten gets screwed. And yes, I'm sensitive to that. It'll be fun doing this with you. And you can hold me to that if you want. But I do enjoy doing that. But we'll be able to do that with the Big Ten ACC. We'll find out. North Carolina, Duke. Mm-hmm. It's Duke, Indiana, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Duke, Indiana.
Ooh. Duke beats them by 50.
Oh, my. You think so?
Not 50, but.
Because there's some people that like Indiana. So I haven't seen Indiana. I've seen Duke play three times now. Mm-hmm. So they've got two stud freshmen.
Three.
You think? Oh, stud? How you define it, stud?
They're projected top five picks in the NBA draft. Doesn't make you a stud.
No, I'm sorry. I meant Indiana. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Indiana. I got you.
Anyway, but no, you don't think that's going to be even a close game? I was hoping that would be.
I don't think so.
I was listening to some guys that know their basketball thinking Indiana was good at the end of the year. Now, this is a qualifier. Mm-hmm. At the end of the year, Indiana will be good. So that may not be
I can buy
now.
That. I can buy that, absolutely. Tonight, good one, Clemson, who's been in the top 25 against Nebraska. That gets things started.
Never mind, honey. And no then, chores tonight.
We see undefeated Minnesota, and if you're a tournament team, you go into Boston College and you win, right? That's what the Gophers have to do tonight. So 6 to 8 o'clock tonight.
I like the Gophers. I like Patino. Did you see Patino smile the other night? Which game
Howard
was that?
Wolowitz?
I couldn't believe he smiled.
Howard Wolowitz from Big Bang Theory? What a goober he is.
He is an absolute goober.
Oh, man.
I'm not lying. I can't root for him, but it was.
Oh, little Ricky.
It was fun to see joy on his face. I was like, look, that's what it feels like to be a happy person, Patino. My gosh, I don't know. It just it made me happy for some dumb reason. But yeah, Minnesota, are they going to be good? Looking at down the Big Ten, it's one of those things where Iowa right now, Trent, cannot sit here and go, well, if we go 3-2 the next five, you got to try to win every damn game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being serious because this is going to be a struggle up and down. Name me a team you can just go up, you know, Rutgers probably. I haven't watched Rutgers. Don't care about them. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But Penn State.
You think Penn State's one of those teams you just. Okay.
I will probably lose out there because they always do. But
that's what I mean. The sleepy environment that we always kid about, but is actually a factor. I mean, we say it for a reason. We're not just saying it to say it. There's something about that stuff that bothers you. I can't wait. Forgot about tonight. Yep, no chores tonight, Trent.
You're back at it.
What are you doing tonight, man?
Oh, I'm watching hoops.
Yeah, you're coming over and doing my chores for me.
Absolutely not. That's not going to be happening at all. I got hoops on the agenda coming up here this evening. Starts in just a couple of minutes, and it'll begin with Nebraska against Clemson. Tomorrow, then, I will be in action against Pitt, their home game. Some of the other decent games, Indiana, Duke, as mentioned. Mm-hmm. And then Wednesday. I mean, this slate is unbelievably good. Carolina at Michigan.
Yes. Oh, baby.
Purdue at Florida State. See if Purdue, how good they are. Virginia goes to Maryland. The Cavs have looked really good. And Wolfgang, one of my bets before the year, Virginia to win it all. I know after last year, that's why you got them at a good price. That's what you do, Wolfgang. Much like I gave you Villanova before the year last year, gave you Virginia and Gonzaga before the seasons, both one at 12-1, the other at 15-1. Got to play those futures.
No Shayok, no championship, man. Oh, that's what I've always said.
I see where you're going. We're out of here for today. Thanks, everybody out there, for listening in. We got Monday Night Football coming up again with the Titans and the Texans here on 1700 The Champ. Enjoy your evening. We'll be back tomorrow starting at 11 a.m. with our local programming. Myself and Ken Miller get things started. Jimmy B and TC from 1 until 2, and then The Drive each and every weekday from 4 until 6 o'clock. Thanks to everybody out there. We'll do it again tomorrow on 1700 The Champ.